Grace to you and peace in the name of our newborn Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. But I'd like to specifically focus on these words from verse 34 through 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is our text. In 1999, my family and I went to Thailand, as many of you know, to volunteer teaching English and working at our Lutheran daycare center located there in Bangkok. And I was told that our daycare center was located in what was called the Bang Na slum area of the city. But when we arrived there, the gated facility looked actually quite nice. There was nothing slummy about it. That is, until I went up to the second story and I looked out over the wall. And just on the other side of the wall from the daycare center were dozens and dozens of little shacks, all piled together, constructed from whatever wood, cardboard, and scrap metal that the occupants could find. And it was from these shacks that the children who attended the daycare center came from. And it struck me as strange how close in proximity to each other these two extremes were. The nice daycare center on the one side of the wall and these dilapidated shacks on the other side of the wall. As I traveled throughout Thailand on that trip and then later trips that I've been on through Mexico and the Caribbean, I've observed this same situation, the same scene in many places. And if you've traveled in some of these areas, you've probably seen them too. On the one side of a wall will be this beautiful hotel and a gorgeous beach for all the tourists. And on the other side of the wall is a smattering of lowly shacks in which serve as homes to the locals. Some folks call this the other side of paradise. When reading our gospel text this morning, I thought of these contrasts because of the words of Simeon today remind us that there is another side to Christmas also. I think that we're probably all aware of that, at least in regards to the worldly holiday of Christmas. Right? I mean, on the one side, we see in the season of Christmas the carols and the parties and the fanciful lights and everybody wanting to give gifts to each other. And then on the other side, we see the crowds and the lines and the materialism and the increased cases of depression and so on. And so in regards to the secular recognition and celebration of Christmas, there are these two very different sides to the holiday experience. But this is true also in regards to the spiritual, religious meaning of Christmas. Some people don't realize that. That's what the words of Simeon remind us of today. This is not just a season of peace on earth, joy to the world, goodwill towards men, as the angels inform the shepherds. This is also a season of division and destruction and death. Again, the words of Simeon to Mary. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. You know, too often people think that Jesus was only about being kind and accepting and tolerant and non-judgmental. He's painted by so many as this loving pacifist who accepted people as they were with no judgments and no expectations placed upon them. That the very essence of his life and ministry and character was always one of joy and peace and goodwill. But that's only one side of Jesus. Jesus had another side too. It says in Matthew chapter 10, these are the words of Jesus, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on this earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." In John 8, when confronted with the woman who had committed adultery, he didn't condemn her, but neither did he tolerate her actions. But he told her to go and to leave her life of sin. When he came across the money changers doing business in the temple area, he flew into a righteous rage and overturned their tables, scattered their coins about, drove them out of the temple courtyard. When he saw a fig tree that wasn't bearing any figs, any fruit, he cursed it so that it would never bear fruit again. And when he spoke of eternal life in the next world to come, he said that it was reserved only for those individuals who would lose and who would sacrifice and who would give up their temporal life in this world. If you want to celebrate the real Christmas, then you have to look at both sides of Christmas. You have to understand that the one who came as a little baby, who came to bring us joy by opening up the gates of heaven to us, is also the one who came to sit in judgment over all those who will not accept him as their Savior. And the one who came to bring peace with God, taking away the punishment for our sin upon himself as he died on the cross, he's also the one who takes away our peace with the world, as he tells us that we cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both him and the things of this world. And the one who promises goodwill to those who have been baptized into his name, who have come into a faith relationship with him, he is also the same one who damns to eternal damnation those who reject him and who reject his gifts. One side of the Christmas story, as Simeon told it, is all about peace and salvation and glory. And that's the side that seems to get all the mileage with most people. But the story of Jesus' birth also has this other side, the one that no one in the world, many even in the church, never seem to want to talk about. It has to do with the other part of Simeon's speech, the vision, destruction, death. 1 Corinthians, Paul refers to the message of Jesus, and he's specifically talking here about his suffering and his death on the cross. And he calls that message a stumbling block. Jesus said in the Gospels, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Because he knew that if you look at all of him, he didn't fit the one-sided image of a Savior that most folks were looking for. And Jesus predicted that his very own disciples would leave him on the night of his arrest when he was being tried and beaten and killed. And he was right. They did leave him. The one side of Christmas fills with joy and hope and peace. It tells us that Jesus' burden is light, That his yoke is easy. That if we trust in him, we will find rest for our souls. But there's another side to Christmas, the other side of Jesus, the other side of Christ, which calls us to take up our cross, which calls us to die to self, to turn the other cheek, to go and sell everything we have and to follow him. And we have to ask ourselves, why? And is it worth it? Why should we forgo the pleasures of this world? Why should we seek him and his righteousness instead of the great things of this world? Why should we live for others instead of for self? The disciples must have considered these questions also. But when asked by Jesus if they would like to leave him too, as many other people had already done, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Indeed, what would it profit us if we gain all the pleasures and all the power and all the possessions that this world has to offer, and yet we forfeit our souls, we forfeit our eternity? There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus, the one who suffered and who died as the payment for our sin, the one who rose from the dead as our victor over death. We are free, free from sin, death, and the power of the devil because of him. And thus, no matter what he calls us to do, where he summons us to go, where he directs our lives, what he directs us to give up or to sacrifice or to surrender, we do it gladly. Because he and he alone is the way to eternal life. He's our Savior. There is no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Simeon knew it. Anna knew it. May we always know it too. No matter which side of Christmas we're looking at. To God and God alone be the glory. For the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.